Welcome to the Business of Health podcast, your go-to resource for practical insights on managing employee benefits and lowering healthcare costs. I'm your host, Mike Martins, and together we'll uncover strategies to enhance price stability and optimize your company's health benefits. Let's dive into the world of healthcare economics and tackle the challenges of the business of health. Well, good morning and welcome to another episode of Business of Health. We got a really informative program for you today. And yeah, we're going to be talking about the ICHRA again. And I've had some feedback from some of our steady Eddies about, Mike, you talk a lot about ICHRA. Yes, we do. And the reason is that we firmly believe that this is a process that every business owner needs to look into. Is it a fit for everybody? No, it's not. But we think it's a fit for a lot of people. And we're going to talk about why that is. And as you know, First Staff Benefits uses ICHRA a lot in the large employer market to help deal with the requirements the Affordable Care Act imposes on benefit offerings and the value associated to those benefit offerings. But we're going to put the clutch in today and shift gears, and we're really going to direct how this can positively impact a small business. My guest today is Adam Butcher. Adam, welcome to the Business of Health.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate the introduction.
Yeah, tell us about your company and what you guys do and your size, and give us a little background.
Sure. So actually, I started very young in this business. We do appliance repair. So we service washers, dryers, refrigerators, dishwashers, microwaves, all that good stuff. Started repairing in the 90s with my dad. I was 12 years old. I'm now 39 years old. So what? Been doing this about 27 years. Over the years, we've evolved greatly. So we're very unique now. One of the things that we have a challenge with is finding labor, finding folks that want to repair appliances. A lot of people don't even know that that's a job. So if you do job hunting and you want to get into the trades, most people aren't thinking about appliance repair. So that blossomed into a relationship. We actually teamed up with a community college here in Northeast Ohio and with Electrolux. And we started a school way back in 2006. And we brought students in and we trained them how to repair appliances. So other independent service companies, just like Fred's Appliance here in Cleveland, Ohio, they're hiring folks and they need a place to train them. Mm-hmm. So my dad was actually the contracted instructor to do that. And then that blossomed into going off on our own. So we have our own very own Fred's Academy, where we train students. Last year, we trained about 150 students. We host students from all 50 states. And we've also had students from about 10 other countries. So technically international. Very unique model. And we have our own apartment complex. So this apartment complex, we host our students there. It's like an Airbnb. And then the academy and lab, classroom and lab, is just a 3-minute walk. So we have our own little campus. And then, of course, we touch a lot of people through the academy. Mm-hmm. And we've even had other independent service company business owners come to our academy. And they have challenges with marketing, you know, getting their name out there. If a customer gets home and Googles, you know, my refrigerator's not cooling, how do you show up on Google? Mm-hmm. Also, other marketing companies kind of taking advantage of service companies. So we decided to get into marketing as well. So we also have Fluid Services. So we have a lot of companies under our umbrella, companies that exceed 100 technicians all the way down to a one-man show who's operating out of his house. So we help folks get visibility in the service industry. So that's our story.
Well, and I salute you for having the foresight to encourage and bring people into the trades. I think there is not a single employer out there in 2023 that wouldn't tell you, regardless of the skill set, that they have trouble finding help and finding good workers. But to bring in that concept of, we'll teach you how to do this, I mean, I really salute you guys, because those are the types of things that we need across the board in the trade industry. Let's talk about some of the challenges outside of labor that you have faced as it pertains to being able to provide benefits to your employees?
Absolutely. So, you know, in a traditional group policy, we're all experiencing incredible increases every year. Mm-hmm. It's not uncommon to see 10, 15, 20, 25%, maybe even some groups more. I've heard of some groups experiencing 50% or plus increases year over year. Obviously, that's not sustainable. No. So every year with our agent, you know, we shop, and we have never had another insurance company that's like, sure, we'll take you on and offer the same like benefits, and it's going to be less money than what your renewal is. So there's naturally no room to really beat down costs other than increasing deductibles. But mm-hmm. at the point, you know, last year, you know, we were at a point where our deductible was about as high as I was willing to go and be comfortable yep. with. So, you know, cost choice. So as an employer, I don't want to feel the burden of making the choice of a policy for all of our employees.
Yeah.
How does that make sense? You know, we have young, healthy people. We also have older people who have meds and may have more doctor's visits. The policy that they want compared to the young, healthy individual is not likely going to be the same policy.
Exactly.
Additionally, you know, the insurance company rates a group policy based on the people that are in your group and what does their health look like. If you're a small group and you have one or two people that are having some rough health issues, your whole group is going to experience an increase mm-hmm. as a result. And that is a real challenge. You know, this is kind of I don't want to sound morbid, but unfortunately we did have someone who passed away and who had cancer mm-hmm. and they were driving up our rates. And traditionally we would get quoted in August, the renewal would be the first of the year. He passed away shortly after our renewal. And I went back to our agent and said, can you go to the health insurance company to see if they can sharpen their pencil on this a bit? Because that particular person driving up our costs, you know, is no longer here, unfortunately. And I'm not trying to sound sterile, you know, but I felt that that was a legitimate request. And unfortunately, they said, nope, sorry, the rate that we gave you, you know, so facing all these challenges as a small business owner, it's not sustainable. Additionally, the cost to buy into it for an employee is just outrageous. So our participation rate was low as well. So those are the challenges we're facing.
Well, and we see the participation issue. And I'll tell you, that's an across the board problem, because as you drive deductibles up and you begin to increase the employee contribution levels, you cross that threshold of value. And all of a sudden, you have this individual that's looking at this option you're presenting, and they're saying, okay, this is going to cost me $400 a month just to buy it. And then I've got to spend $5,800 or $6,200 before I get anything for it. You know, I'm not going to play that game. Gosh, I haven't had anything happen to me. You know, and the younger people always kind of fall into that super person category. They may not understand how quickly a $6,000 bill can be incurred in a medical occurrence, and they don't see the value. And that is a prevalent problem. And this does not apply just to small employers, Adam. This is an across the board issue. Is you're making a selection on their behalf, and it's just not going to fit every single scenario. And one of the things that I feel is important in employee culture is to be able to provide something that a employee or a prospective employee looks at and says, wow, I see value here. You know, on my former job, I didn't participate in the health insurance because it was, be quite candid, it was a lousy plan and it was too much money. It was too much out of pocket. So that participation issue is problematic, and that creates an issue at the insurer level because their assumption, whether it's right, wrong, or indifferent, their assumption is that if you have 41 employees in the group and you have 20 that are electing to buy the coverage, those 20 are sick. And you're just not going to break that underwriting mentality. So one of the things that our good friend, and we've had Matt Noh with My Benefits on the show, Matt uses an analogy of the pizza shop, and I love it, and I want to share it, in that if you look at group health insurance as pizza by the slice, what you're currently doing in a traditional environment is you're telling the employees that, listen, every day, I'm going to provide you a slice of pizza, and your choice is cheese, pepperoni, or supreme. And when you move over to the ICHRA philosophy, all you're saying is, I'm going to provide you a slice of pizza every day, but you put on it whatever you want. And here's the funds to go buy it. So as we look into this a little deeper, and we get a lot of feedback about this, Mike, you know, I've kind of looked at this, but it seems so complicated. I want to push that to the side, and I want to focus on the fact that what this process does is it gives an employer the opportunity to say, here is a set amount of money, go buy what you want. Go buy what fits your lifestyle, what fits your needs, and what fits your current health situation. I think that's just absolutely incredible. Adam, walk me through how you got introduced to ICHRA.
So I've been doing a lot of exploring with health insurance over the last few years, you know, really stemming around two big issues, which there's more than this, and we'll get into this with some future discussion here, but as cost and choice. Mm-hmm. So I'm a part of some associations, United Servicers Association. It's actually called United Appliance Servicers Association. And I'm also part of what's called the W Network. So Whirlpool has some choice servicers in key markets across the country that they team up with to provide the majority of the service work in that territory. So I was hoping to, you know, leverage these groups to be able to buy in as a pool so we can all drive down costs. Well, you know, I was exploring this with Matt, and there's a whole host of challenges, including you really kind of have to insure yourself. And there's got to be a lot of money, a lot of backing, you know, to really drive down the cost. But then you have great risk, you know. So to go that approach, like, we're all going to incur more potential risk, especially if we don't predict correctly what kind of health events might happen with the group. So it just seemed way too risky and just way too treacherous of a territory to even try to go down. So Matt's like, well, have you heard of ICHRA? I'm like, no. So in short, he explained it to me. You give the employees an allowance, which allows them to go shop for insurance that they want based on their needs. So for example, here in the state of Ohio, when we were shopping for our ICHRA plans for 2023, this would have been late 2022, there was 103 options. Wow. And that sounds a little overwhelming, which it actually is overwhelming. But here's what's cool about it is that there's choice. Mm-hmm. So instead of saying, here's one plan, I think some larger employers have an option to offer two or three plans to choose from. But generally, you don't have that choice. And now we have a choice of 103 plans. So that really caught my attention. So that's how I first heard about ICHRA, is just exploring alternate options to the group plan because it's just so cost prohibitive.
When you begin to get deep into this, obviously the choice scenario was important to you. How important was the capability to actually set a budget on what you were going to contribute for the employees, knowing that in a year from now, instead of playing that renewal game of, yes, gosh, is it going to be 20%? Spin the wheel. I call it spinning the wheel of death. Is it going to be 20%? Is it going to be 50%? Is it going to be 8%? I mean, you know, going into 2024, you know exactly what your options are. You can elect, yes, to maintain what you have. You can increase it. You can change it. Mm-hmm. And of course, obviously, anything you do, you're doing across the board for everybody. But how important was that capability of being able to grasp that financial side of all of this?
I mean, that's huge because I can actually budget. I don't have to assume or make different budgets for future states based on what I think the insurance company might increase mm-hmm. us to. So right now, I can set our budget for 2024, and I know exactly what I'll be reimbursing for health insurance up to what's my exposure, because not everybody has to buy in, you know? Right. So, and then you don't have to pay for that particular employee that chose not to buy in. But I know what my exposure is up to because I set based on it's age banded. I don't want to get too complicated and scare people, but what's cool is it's very flexible. So naturally in the individual health market, the older you are, the more money you're going to pay.
Right.
And the younger you are, the less money you're going to pay. So we want to obviously compensate for younger folks, but also the older folks. So we can set, if you're 20 to 30, we're going to reimburse $300. But if you're 60 or more, it'll be $600. You know, so we set that age band. Then what's cool, I actually didn't tell you about our company. We're fully remote. We actually have employees spanning 1,000 miles. We have employees in Ohio, Kentucky, North Carolina, and Florida.
Wow.
So in a traditional group plan, the plan that is, we're based in Cleveland, Ohio, the plan that we choose may not be good for Kentucky. It may not be good for North Carolina. So now we have this weird, you know, it makes it very complicated. But with ICHRA, they can, in fact, we just had a service administrator move from Lorain, which is west of Cleveland, to North Carolina in this past month. So she is able to get off of her individual plan here in Cleveland and get onto a North Carolina plan. So whatever plan she chooses meets the doctors and hospitals in North Carolina. And here's where it even gets cooler. So again, I'm not trying to overcomplicate this, but this is options for employers, which is awesome. So Ohio insurance group, our costs may be different than North Carolina. So my reimbursement rates for Ohio employees versus North Carolina employees can be different.
Absolutely.
So I can make sure people are treated as fairly as possible, and it's relative. So that flexibility is huge.
The other part of this that we brushed on earlier when we were talking about group plans that really rolls off the table when you implement ICHRA is this issue of participation. ICHRA doesn't care.
Doesn't matter.
If you have 25 employees and you have three people elect to participate in the ICHRA, no problem.
No problem.
So, you know, now you're in a world where not only can you budget, not only can you go to the employee and say, you make the choice, we want you to get what's good for you, but no one's going to come back at the end of open enrollment and say, oh gosh, Adam, we got a problem. You know, we only had 6% of the population elect coverage. We got to re-rate the group. And those are things that happen, and they happen every single day. So those have all been eliminated. Walk me through, obviously there's an education component here, because we're now presenting an employee with an entirely different way to secure health coverage. Walk me through the implementation process. How did you manage and deal with the fact that, okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're in a different world here?
Sure. So obviously, one of my single biggest fears in going from a group plan to ICHRA is throwing our team to the wolves. I think that it's most folks don't understand insurance. Mm-hmm. You know, it's very complicated. The deductibles, co-insurance, your premium, how it all gets applied, and how you're charged based on services or meds you get. There's so many layers to it, and it's very scary. And that was my single biggest fear. So teaming up with Matt and Me Benefits, they actually held the hand of our team. So the first thing that I did was we have to send out some legal information to say that we're switching from a group plan to an individual plan, ICHRA. And then thereafter, I just let them all know that we're not throwing you to the wolves. You're going to collect some information about yourself. How much money did you make last year? You know, and also what meds are you taking, your family as well, and what is your preferred doctors and hospitals? Gather that information. And then from there, they were able to contact and arrange a meeting with Me Benefits. And Me Benefits gather that information over the phone and help them choose the right plan that suited them. And additionally, I did offer this as well. If you have any specific questions, you can come to me as well. And I'll do my best to answer you and give you guidance or otherwise find that answer. So I think once you overcome that fear and your team overcomes that fear of being thrown to the wolves, it all really starts to make sense. Yeah, so some failures with it. I mean, mostly it's absolutely been awesome. But again, not to get too complicated, but the way it works is we have an account set up where for our total projected premiums for a particular month, say it's $8,000 a month. Let's pull a number out of my hat. $8,000 a month in premiums for all the people under your umbrella that are bought into ICHRA. They debit our account for $8,000. And then each employee gets their own checking account that's tied to that master account. And they take that checking account information and enter it into their health plan. So whatever insurance company they've bought through, they enter it into there for their monthly reoccurring payment. So again, that sounds complicated, but it's not bad. It's just you're buying something. And instead of using your own account, you're just using an account that I give you as an employer. That's really it.
Well, it's change. And sometimes people are fearful of change.
Yes.
They look at the current system that they're operating in, which is I get a statement from the carrier. I have payroll deductions. I submit to the carrier the payroll deductions, my contribution, end of day, and we're done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the way it's been for years and years. But one thing that can facilitate change is significant financial savings. And one of the things that we have seen, and I'm sure you
for everybody.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Not just the employer.
Yeah. I mean, change becomes a lot softer component. Mm-hmm. If somebody comes in and says, hey, at the end of the day, and I've seen examples of six-figure savings on annual cost for health insurance programs, that gets attention. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times people will say, okay, I can maybe work through this change if that's what you're generating. But your point, and I agree with you 100%, is you got to have a back room that can take that hand off to the employee and explain to them that this is not anything to be afraid of. Don't worry. Yep. If you don't understand health insurance, tell me what you want that health insurance to do.
Yep.
And boom, then there's going to be a match. We're starting to run out of time, Adam, and gosh, I wish we had more, but what have we left out? What have I forgotten?
I don't think you've forgotten anything. I just want to share that, you know, we have people that are bought into health insurance, including families that had never had health insurance before. They've been working for me for many years, and it's just they're not willing to spend what it would cost to insure their family on a traditional group health plan. But now that we have ICHRA, they actually have insurance for their family. Additionally, we have some young and healthy people, single, that didn't previously have insurance. Now they have insurance, and it's even free for them. They're not paying a cent because my reimbursement covers the cost of their premium. Now, they're not in a Cadillac plan. It's more like what I would call a catastrophic plan, but they are now insured. So it reduces their exposure to a major health event. So for me, I think a lot of people, you know, will ask, if you're out to dinner with someone and you're asked, well, how's your meal? And they're like, the question is, would you get that meal again? That's the best way to ask someone if they really like what they're eating.
Yeah.
So would I eat ICHRA again? Yes, I would.
Awesome. That awesome analogy. Well, one of the things that always happens when we launch one of these podcasts, and I know it'll happen here, is I'm going to get reach out from the audience saying, hey, that guy was unbelievable. I'd like to have a conversation with him. I've got some more specific questions. Adam, how do they reach you?
It's real easy. My email address is adam@fredsappliance.com. So feel free to reach out to me via email, and I'll absolutely assist you with any questions you may have.
Appreciate it a ton. And the only question I have left is, I'd like to have you come back, because we want to put together a program where, and I'm going to use point counterpoint because I'm old and I remember that TV show. But basically, I'd like to have an employer come on that looked at ICRA and said, I don't like it, or it's not going to work for me, and go through the other side of that equation, because that's, I think, equally important.
I agree.
Because one of the things that I have found, and I know Matt Noh has found this also, is that a lot of times when ICRA is taken off the table, it could be a valid reason. ICRA is a little bit geographically sensitive. There are certain parts of the country where it's a better fit than others, but many, many times it's lack of information, lack of education.
Yes.
And so we're working on putting that together, and we'd love to have you back. But I really appreciate you being with us today, sharing the information. And I just want to let everybody know, kind of stay tuned, because we are not going to walk away from programs based on ICRA. You're going to hear more and more and more of them. So, Adam, appreciate it. Want you to have a great day, and I'll be back to you so that we can schedule this debate.
Great, Mike. I'll be happy to come back. Thanks for having me today. It was a pleasure.
Well, the only bad news today is that we're at the end of the show. So thanks for listening to the Business of Health podcast. Listening to this show puts your agency in position for success. Remember to click the link below, check out my website at www.firststaffbenefits.com. Give me a shout. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Keep listening, keep learning, and keep taking action. Until next time, this is Mike Martins signing off.